Welcome to episode 15 of Tiski Discussions. I'm your host, AB Basson. In this week's episode, I catch up with former professional footballer, Paul Johnston. Paul spent close to 10 years at Bidvest Wits in a coaching capacity and was assistant to Gavin Hunt during the club's most successful period. Paul, thanks for joining me on Tiski Discussions. I think it's a great time to chat to you considering, Orlando Pirates just beat Cape Town City 2-0. With a lot of Bidvest Wits players and Dion Hotto scoring in the first minute, you know him very well. What did you make of their performance and what have you made of the Bidvest Wits players this season, or former Bidvest Wits players this season?
Yeah. First of all, thanks very much for having me on, and it's good to see you again. It's been a while since the bubble.
Yeah.
So always happy to chat football. Gives me an opportunity to keep my head in the game while I'm sitting at home, not involved. Rightly said, the players that have gone on from the now defunct Bidvest Wits have not surprised, to be honest with you. I'm not surprised at all that they're doing so well. We knew the quality that we had in depth within the squad. And there was never a doubt in my mind, along with the rest of the technical staff, that the guys could play for so-called bigger clubs and easily hold their own, if not take the teams forward. And that's exactly what we're seeing with obviously what you've mentioned with regards to Dion Hotto and Sabang Manari at Orlando Pirates. And of course, let's not forget our old skipper, Tulani Slaya.
It has not just been them. Nange at Stellenbosch has made a real impact, scored a few times off the bench. Machupu at TS Galaxy has had a good season. Eva Ngar scored a hat-trick for Chippa United. If you think of the players that Bidvest Wits had there in their last season, do you think this season they could have, been going for the title?
Absolutely. I mean, every year that we had the boys round, we felt we could go on and win something. If not the league a second time around, certainly a cup competition. And I think it's easy to say in retrospect, but if things had been different last season without COVID and without the bubble, we may well have kicked on and finished higher than we did. I think we could have well been challenging for the title last year, or last season, should I say. And rightly so again this season. Being under Gavin for many years, he certainly doesn't go into a league season looking to be second best. I mean, we go out to win at all costs. And that's the game. You don't win, you don't keep your job. And the players were used to that. And we had incredible players. It's kind of, we always knew that, but when you're away from the game like I am, and you just look at the ongoing PSL this season and you see our players popping up all over the place and giving a great account of themselves and being prominent players in their new teams. It's just sad. It makes me very, very sad that we couldn't keep the guys together and go on to win another league title, because they're certainly all capable of more, as you've quite rightly seen. And, like you said, Patu Nange is doing great things at Stellenbosch, Zita Macheke at Stellenbosch. The list goes on. I mean, you don't need me to tell you the players that have come out of the Bidvest Wits stable and doing great things at every club that they've gone to. So I'm extremely proud, but extremely sad at the same time,
Yeah, we can carry on with players in the PSL, but looking to India, Carl Alexander has really impressed. Yeah. Stuart Baxter has obviously now left the club, but he really made a big impact in India. And have you followed his progress, or are you surprised that he's made such a big impact?
Not at all. I mean, I had lengthy discussions with Cole before his move to Odisha happened. He's a very, very respectful character. And I know he had a lot of respect for me as well as a lot of the technical staff around him, especially his peers and the older guys in and around the squad. So, like I said, we had long discussions. There was an opportunity for him to go to Kaizer Chiefs, but there was also a great opportunity, which he was very excited about, and going back and working under Stuart Baxter, a new country, new culture, new everything, really just a brand new adventure for him and his wife. And, he pretty much took everything on board that I said, and he made, I think, a great decision. I'm not surprised at all that he's done so well. He's an extremely dedicated character, extremely professional in every aspect. And I'm just glad to see that he's getting on the score sheet. I know the team is not doing great. They've struggled a little bit, but Cole as an individual and as part of that team, he's been exceptional. He's really been good. You know, I pop him a message every now and then, and he's just always full of life, full of positivity. And I've got utmost respect for him for making the decision he did.
A real point of pride for Bidvest Wits over the years was the youth academy. Obviously did very well in the last MDC season. Keenan Phillips has, you know, was really impressive in the last few weeks for Bidvest Wits in the bubble. He played really well that final game. What have you made of his progress and the progress of the other young players, Rowan Heeman, obviously in Israel, is it? Have you made of their progress? And, you know, do you see big futures for them?
Absolutely. I mean, I certainly hope that they both kick on, and not just them, but that everybody else that's moved on from the club. I mean, it makes me very happy to know that they have moved on to professional clubs and have kind of taken steps forward in their professional career. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, the setup was fantastic. From when Glenn Salmon was the head of academy to, you know, further beyond that, when Sheppy and Pupu took over the Disky team, I mean, they did great things. The players were exceptional, and they really came on leaps and bounds over the past couple of years. So the next step in the progression for them was to make the step up. And again, them coming into the bubble, it was by chance that they did come in. I think they may have, I would have said they possibly should have been rewarded with first team appearances before the bubble. The bubble was very, very unique, and we had to extend the squad because of the amount of games that we were playing. But it was certainly an opportunity for them to be involved in a first team environment and then get a certain number of appearances under their belt. And they did great. And on the back end of that, they were obviously noticed by other clubs in the PSL. So they were, you know, chomping our hands off, so to speak, as soon as the club was sold. And on they go, onwards and upwards, as they say, you know.
You've been very vocal on social media with this whole Chakuma sale, and rightfully so, considering, you know, that they, you know, took away Bidvest's chance of celebrating 100 years. And now it's, you know, made even worse that the club has been sold again to a pharmaceutical businessman. You know, how disappointed are you with how the whole thing transpired, and especially considering how quickly it happened?
Yeah, massively disappointed. I mean, anyone that's, you know, I've never been kind of prolific on social media, but, you know, as time goes on, you find that it's a voice. And if I've got something factual to say, I'll certainly say it. And I don't agree with anything that's happened. I can understand from a Bidvest point of view that they're a company that sponsored the team, and were there in a financial capacity. And once Brian Joffe left, that kind of the passion for the game and the heart that Brian Joffe had, you know, for taking the team forward and winning something was no longer there. So there was always, from that point, there was always a bit of an uneasy feeling, if I'm quite honest. I had numerous conversations with Jose Ferreira, the ex-CEO, about those uneasy feelings and what's going to happen in the future. And he always, you know, as a good CEO would, you know, kind of put your mind at ease and said, you know, there's nothing to worry about. You carry on and do what you have to do. The club will be around for a long time to come, which, as we've seen now, is not the case. Again, just going back to the Bidvest thing, yeah, under them, you're just another number. You know, the bottom line for them is money at the end of the day. And if they felt that it wasn't viable, so be it. I'm a little bit more disappointed in the way I would say that the PSL have gone about things. And you might think it's a bold statement, but for a product such as the PSL, which is so lucrative and has such a big following, I'm gobsmacked at the way it was handled. I mean, you know, first of all, you'd think that an institution such as Wits University or Bidvest Wits, which it came to be, there would be a little bit more care and thought as to who the club was sold to. It's fair enough, it was up for sale, but I mean, you can't just flog it to anyone that comes along. I mean, surely do your due diligence, because at the end of the day, it's going to affect the reputation of the PSL. And sweep it under the rug you may, but the reality is there. I mean, the guy bought the club and 4 months later, it's up for sale again because he doesn't know his ass from his elbow about football. Sorry to say, you know, not paying players is an absolute disgrace in this day and age. You know, they've got a good squad list. Don't get me wrong. Good players, you know, but they go there with the hope of resurrecting their PSL careers and moving on. And then they don't get paid. I mean, it's just scandalous that in this day and age, that is allowed to happen. And here we are 4 months later, they've sold the club again. Disgrace. And hopefully this time, I don't know the guy that's bought the club, but hopefully he's a lot more financially secure, has a genuine interest in football. And certainly is able to pay the players. You know, I mean, these guys are not servants to the game. They are contributors and massive contributors at that. And they deserve to be, or for their contracts to be honored, so they can perform their duties.
Yeah, definitely a very good point. Do you think more effort should have been made in maybe turning, you know, Bidvest Wits or Wits University into a second division club? You know, they've competed in that division before. Do you think a swap deal would have been of best, better interest for, you know, the PSL as a whole?
Yeah, look, I think, again, it comes down to the sale is a sale, and that is what it is. But I think the way it was handled, and particularly going back to the PSL, that I think if the club was up for sale, the PSL should have been more involved at who takes over, especially with regards to the legacy of Bidvest Wits or of Wits University. You know, it doesn't matter who it gets sold to, but as long as there's they're financially viable, they have a genuine interest in football and know what they're doing, you know, then fair enough. And I think to have kept the club where it was, kept the name, you know, those types of things are massively important. I mean, nowhere in the world, as far as I am aware, this sort of thing happens where it's just like trading, you know, you can just buy yourself a status in the PSL just because you can show funds initially, you know, not even a plan down the line of what you intend to do with the club. It's just ludicrous in my book. But yeah, I'd like to think that the club would have been sold as a growing concern, you know, maybe the name not changed. You know, I can understand people wanting to put their own stamp on things, but, you know, just to the right type of people, maybe, really.
Yeah.
And even if it did go to someone outside the Wits fraternity, then Wits carry on their legacy, which I think the university in essence is trying to do. You know, they are trying to keep it going. I know that they, you know, they're looking to do very well in the Varsity Cup. They've had an SAB team. I believe that they've taken over a Vodacom franchise as well. Sorry, an ABC Motsepe League franchise. So they are trying to grow it. But over the years, they became two separate entities. But good on them for trying to do that and trying to maintain some sort of legacy from what had previously been known as Wits University into Bidvest Wits. But just the sale on the surface of the PSL just grinds me. It's just shocking. And obviously it's personal because I'm sitting here without a job as we speak. And, you know, people may say sour grapes, and sure, of course it is. Yeah. Because I'm not working and I should be.
You spent close to 10 years at Bidvest Wits, most of it with Gavin Hunt as head coach. What was it like working with Gavin, and are you surprised that Kaizer Chiefs have struggled this season? But considering they did have a transfer ban, you know, going into the season and couldn't sign any new players, you know, obviously also knocked out of the Nedbank Cup by a lower league team. That happens. But where do you think it's gone wrong so far this season? And obviously you have no doubt that him and Dylan Shepherd, you also know very well, can turn things around.
Yeah, I think let's go back to the start there of your question. Sure. I was not forgetting I was also a professional player in the PSL with Bidvest Wits. I was there for 4 years as a player and returned a few years later on the technical staff, initially as a fitness coach under Roger Desar and Eric Tinkler. Roger obviously knew me as a very good pro and brought me back into the fold as a fitness coach. And then a year after that, obviously we went through Antonio Habas. I was his fitness coach and second assistant to Miguel Martinez, and then to Clive Barker and Jose at the time. Jose Ferreira asked me to step up and assist Clive because Clive was coming in as the main motivator, but he needed someone running the sessions, and that fell into my hands, which was great for me. a great step forward in my career as an assistant coach. And then after that season, after finishing fourth, if I'm not mistaken, then Gavin came in, you know, and again, it was proving yourself all over again. Gavin comes with a reputation, and he's not the most trusting of characters. And you've got to build that trust with him and you've got to prove yourself. And I certainly wasn't shy in doing so. I mean, I think I remember the first day I'd gone and said, Gav, you know, welcome. I said, I know you probably don't know much about me, but I was Clive's assistant last year, but I also do a lot of the fitness. I just want to know, you know, where we stand, what you want me to do. And he just looked at me and went, just want you in the gym. I was like, right, okay. So that was a knockback. But within a week, I was kind of back to what I was doing, running the sessions and kind of earned his trust as we went. And then, of course, we went on to, you know, being losing finalists in the Nedbank Cup and, you know, then on to winning the MTN 8, then the league, and then the Telkom Cup, as you quite rightly know. But it's, look, it's been a long journey just onto his Chiefs path. We had a conversation in the bubble and he didn't really let on that there was things in the pipeline, but we knew, Gav, that he would always hold his cards close to his chest. And we also knew the type of person he is, that he's not massively trusted and he's certainly going to sort himself out first before anybody else. And there was a brief conversation that I had with him alone at the table and Chiefs was mentioned. And I said, quite boldly so, I said, Gav, you know, if Chiefs, the reality of Chiefs, if they don't win this, you know, Earns could possibly go. But I said, it's a bit of a poison chalice. You know, I think at the time we knew, I'm trying to think back, did we know about the transfer ban? I'm not quite sure, but I'd said that. And I really felt that it was a bit of a poison chalice, because also knowing Gav, when he comes into an environment, and we did it when he first got there, as well as many seasons after that as well, almost season by season, we had a big turnaround. He's a big believer in turning the squad around to keep players hungry. So you can keep players that are of a good age. They've got a great reputation, but they've got to still have the hunger. And if Gavin feels that they don't have the hunger, then your time is very, very limited. And we often did that pretty much season by season, was just get fresh minds, fresh bodies, fresh personalities in. To keep that hunger and to keep the fight for first team places, which is on to the next level. I think we fell very, very short of that when we won the league in 2017, because there was sentimentality crept in for all of us. And we should have got rid, and Dane won't mind me saying this, I speak to Dane quite often as well, but the likes of the Dane Clates, the Muneeb Josephs, because of sentimentality, we kept those players and we bottomed out in the season following. And that's how Gavin runs his store, you know, and we often had conversations afterwards about that, where we should have had a clear out. We shouldn't have been sentimental and kept older players that maybe didn't have the hunger, whatnot. And now Gavin's faced with that Chiefs, hence my call going, it's a bit of a poison chalice, because they had an aging squad at the time. For years, even post Stuart Baxter, they hadn't really brought in any youngsters of any real quality in my book that were going to fight for places against the Willard Cutsundays and the Bernard Parkers and the Chabalalas at the time and Kunis. You know, so these guys get a little bit long in the tooth and they lack hunger. This happens. And they're also, you know, Chiefs is a huge institution. It's a massive club. And these guys know that they're the pinnacle of their careers in terms of where they would like to be in South African football from a financial perspective, and also as a following. You know, they're a brand unto themselves, these guys. And you're thinking, there needs to be a massive turnaround there, but he couldn't, you know, be it from the Chiefs' point of view, but also, as we all know, that the transfer embargo that was on them, Gav couldn't do it anyway. So I'm not surprised that he struggled. I don't think it's down to the way he coaches. He is very simple in his approach, the way he does things. He likes discipline. He likes structure, and it's a very basic structure. And if you're not able to fit in and understand that, then you're going to struggle. And I think that's where they're battling at the moment. I think it's going to take some time to turn it around. But I wouldn't be surprised if as soon as Gav's able to get beyond the transfer ban, there'll be a massive turnaround and shakeup within the Chiefs squad. And that's if Gav can hold out that long. That's if they keep him around that long.
Yeah, no, you make a few really good points there. Well, Paul, I really enjoyed your insight, and it's great catching up to you, up with you. What's in the pipeline in the near future for yourself? Obviously, you know, you're very, very successful assistant coach at Bidvest Wits. You have roots back in England. What's the plan for the next few months? Obviously, staying involved in football.
Yeah, options are open at this point in time. I've always been open to opportunities to go wherever in the world. I think the natural transition for us at this point, the longer it goes on with me without me getting a job in South Africa, the more we kind of lean towards going back to the UK, which is obviously where I was born, and then trying to make a go of it over there. I mean, it's just as hard, if not harder, over there to make a path for yourself, because there's so many qualified and experienced coaches out there. But if that's the way it goes, then so be it. But always will, you know, keep my head in football. I'm just about to finish my UEFA A license. It's kind of been delayed because of COVID. So I need to do just 3 final assessments to get my UEFA A license under my belt. But I need to get on the grass to do that. And that's been held up, but I've put a hell of a lot of time and effort into my football career, both as a player and now as a coach. And I'd certainly like to continue that journey, and wherever that may be, who knows? But right now, there's nothing there. It's been a tough old time. There's been, if I may say, a lot of bullshit in the pipeline, a lot of stories, but never anything concrete. And you get a little bit fed up with the nonsense from time to time. But again, maybe that's the industry. But you put a lot of heart and soul into it. So yeah, you've got to try and continue and get through the negative times, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Paul, great catching up once again, and stay safe and all the best.
Yeah, thanks so much, AB. Great to chat to you again, my man. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Anytime. Cheers, Paul. Awesome. Thank you for listening to Disky Discussions. If you have any questions or guests you'd like me to have on the show, please hit me up at AB_Basson on Twitter or on Instagram. Stay safe, like, subscribe, aware.